It's Monterey 47, Pickett County 12. Monterey head coach Scott Hughes, congrats on the big win, and thank you for kicking off this week's High School Playbook.
Hey, always a pleasure to be on with you guys. Always a pleasure to get to highlight our young men and our program and our community.
Coach Hughes, before we even talk about last night's game, talking with Coach Reagan this week, he had mentioned how much of a fan he was of yours and how much you have helped him out and been just a good friend and colleague. So I know that has to make you feel good to hear that.
It does. And you know, Coach Reagan's a good guy, and we got a great relationship. And, you know, any coach I have respect for, because I know exactly the battles that they go through day in and day out. And, you know, it's what I always tell our kids. I said, you know, with every team that you play, you know, you tip your hat to each of those young men, because they're going out and they're going through the same battles you are. And so it's a huge respect factor. And, you know, I was blessed to be around great coaches as a young coach and learn that respect and how you handle that and how you create those relationships.
Coach Hughes, the difference in last night's ball game is probably just sheer talent and size of the schools. I know you're both 1A and just amount of kids that you guys have out there. Pickett County's dealt a tough hand just with who they have at their school, but they're going out there and they're trying to get better each and every week, and I believe they are. What did you see?
I agree, and you know, they had some young men that were very talented. It's one of those things, you know, we're blessed right now in our situation. You know, our numbers are a little bit up, even from where we typically are, and you know, it's one of those things. Our kids have bought into our program, and we're a little bit ahead of the curve more than they are because of our middle school program, being a 7-12 school and having that feeder school and us having our hands on that feeder program. And Coach Childress and Coach Duff, Coach Putton, they do a great job of our middle school and being in tune with us and you know, trying to do some small things similar to what we do, just the terminology. And you know, we have to share a practice field. It's not a big practice field. We probably total only have about, you know, 75 yards and about 35 of that's not even actual football width. And but we're side by side, and so, you know, we're constantly kind of working around each other, and you know, that helps our younger kids to see the pace that they're going to be at when they get to high school and the expectation. And our middle school is doing a great job this year. And our coaches do a great job every year, and so we're excited about that program as well. So I think when you look at the two programs that played last night, that's one of the bigger differences.
And Coach, what about that game last night? A 47-12 win over Pickett County here with Monterey head coach Scott Hughes. We're able to open up the passing attack some, and maybe give Mason Bowman a lesser workload last night.
Well, it's something that we really, in the off season, was excited about. COVID hit, and you know, with the pass game, it's so much timing and just the understanding of where everybody's going to be. And Matthew Montgomery's doing a great job of taking the lead with our offense and you know, spending hours upon hours, you know, watching film and understanding. And you know, our receivers, I've really challenged them. Crap, I'll be honest, I've been really hard on that group in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I really thought we were making some pretty good strides. And then we got hit with another 2 weeks, and not making excuses, but threw our timing off a little bit more. And we had to jump in so fast just to get back into playing. And so it's something that we've, you know, and when I say we, I'm going to take the blame on this. I've been extremely hard on those guys, just trying to get them to accelerate their development. And it seems like every day we're getting better in that group and in that aspect of the game. And I thought last night we reaped some of the benefits of it. And I'm excited to see what we can do moving forward, because I'm pretty honest with everything. And that's a pretty talented group that we've got right now.
Coach, next week you travel down to Gainesboro. They're coming off a big win against East Robertson. The start of that game last year was absolutely big play after big play. I think the first three or four plays were long touchdowns. What have you seen out of the Blue Devils so far this season?
I'll be honest, I haven't seen anything. My situation, we're kind of Saturday to Friday, and we don't look up because we don't, you know, small staff, and we're one of those old school staffs. We don't worry about the next one until this one's over. And I do know this, Coach Loftus, you know, go way back. He's a great friend, dear friend of mine. Any team that he's a part of, any team that he's coaching, I know they're going to be really good. You know, I had a question last night about it. You know, I guess to some people it's a rivalry. It may be a rivalry to them. I don't know. I didn't know it was a rivalry for us. You know, I think there was already a couple things about that. That's new to me. I just know that we've got to go down there, and it's a tough place to play. And
Coach, we're excited to watch it and be a part of it next week. I'll be there at the first half of that game. So thank you for your time this morning, and good luck with this week in practice.
Hey, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Friday night across UC Sports Nation, the scoreboard driven by East Tennessee Dodge. Upperman beats Cannon County 48-6 last night in Baxter. Junior athlete Ty Duchess accounted for four touchdowns for the Bees last night. Duchess went 2-for-2 for 47 yards and a touchdown through the air. Duchess also rushed the ball four times for 179 yards and three touchdowns. The Bees prepare to take on Oneida next Friday night in Baxter.
Livingston Academy 28, Stone Memorial 6. The Wildcats scored the first 14 points of the game and never looked back as Caleb Robinson and Raven Carpenter lead the Wildcats to their fourth victory of the year. They'll take on Smith County next week, while Stone will play Roane County.
Warren County 35, Blackman 28. C.J. Taylor goes for over 300 yards and five touchdowns to lead the Pioneers to victory. Next week, Warren County travels back to Murfreesboro to take on the Stars at Siegel.
Oakland 42, Cookeville 7. The Cavaliers battled early in the first half but couldn't overcome a 21-0 halftime deficit in their 42-7 loss to Oakland. Quarterback Stockton Owen scored the only points of the game for the Cavaliers on a rushing touchdown in the third frame. The Cavaliers will host Coffee County next week in their next contest.
Monterey 47, Pickett County 12. Quarterback Matthew Montgomery finishes the night 7-10 through the air for 162 yards and three touchdowns in the Wildcats' best passing performance of the season. Next week, the undefeated Wildcats travel to Gainesboro to take on the 4-1 Jackson County Blue Devils.
Speaking of those Blue Devils, Jackson County 16, East Robertson 6. Wid Robbins led the way for the Blue Devils in this one with 150 yards on 33 attempts. Eli Burris was also fantastic as well. Jackson County and Monterey will likely be the game of the week next week in Gainesboro.
Walker Valley 49, White County 14. White County looks to get back on track this Friday night in Sparta against York Institute. For Rusty Ellis, I'm your host, Justin Matheny. The high school playbook continues with head coach Mark Frazier. It was Walker Valley 49, White County 14. Coach Frazier, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, no problem, buddy.
Coach Frazier, let's just go ahead and jump into this game. Walker Valley jumps out early, jumps up 14-0 on you pretty quick. How did that game start off for the Warriors last night?
Well, you want one word? the whole game. Not the start of the whole game. That was an embarrassing performance. You know, I'm embarrassed. I hope the kid's embarrassed. He basically needs to send out an apology to all the fans and parents that came to that game. We came out flat. And to be honest with you, that looked like Sparta football from the past 30 years, and that's the way we played. We didn't have any energy. Just not a lot of fight to us. Now, to give Walker Valley credit, they were a better football team than I expected. Very physical football team, and they came out ready to play. But opening drive, we got out one first down, I believe. Then we snap a punt. Our punter takes a knee as he's catching the ball. They get it on 20-yard line, and then defensively come out and don't put up much effort. They scored, I don't know, three or four plays. And then do the exact same thing the next play. We, you know, our punter had been quarantined. We had a new snapper, new punter. Did it twice in a row. They got the ball on the 25-yard line two times in a row. Come down and score again, make it 14-0. I think we fumble on the next drive. It was just a comedy of errors from the get-go. The errors are one thing, but the lack of effort was the thing that I was disappointed in. We had a long discussion about it last night after the game, so that's not going to happen again as far as the effort goes. I'm not saying we're going to win games, but we're not going to play like that again. So an embarrassing start, embarrassing performance, really.
Coach Frazier, how frustrating is that as a coach? And it's almost impossible to turn around mid-game where you just see your guys, for whatever reason, they just aren't putting the effort and the energy's not out there. It's impossible to coach play, to call plays, to coach your team, and then try to get them juiced up. That's something they've got to bring on their own.
Well, I say that. I'm not going to put everything on them. We as coaches got to do a better job, too, me included. You know, that's the one thing I can say that I could always count on this group of guys, that they play hard. And we've not won every game that we've played since I've been here, but we've played hard. And so, you know, I always felt good about that. This week, you know, that didn't happen. I got to look in the mirror myself, too, you know, to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do. We as a coaching staff have to pick it up. And then the players have to pick it up as well. It's too late when the game's kicked off. That's something that has to happen during the week and to be prepared and be ready to play. Regardless of who you're missing and regardless who's not there, we can't make those excuses. Every team's going through some of that. So we've got to do a better job across the board to get ready to play football. We're not good enough to come out there and play at 80% to beat anybody. So we've got to come with 110% effort every night.
Coach, you got, again, one of the more electrifying players around here, Malachi Dow. How did he play last night, and how were they able to defend him?
He played fine. Malachi is going to give you effort. He's one of the kids I do think came out and played hard. It was one of those deals where, you know, I tell him it's not always going to be 70-yard run every other play. They came out and stacked the box. We tried to throw it some. We actually, if there was a bright spot, we threw the ball a little better last night and maybe gotten a little rhythm passing as the game went on. You know, they just put eight guys there, and we don't have enough guys to block him, so we've got to be able to throw it. And once again, he did. He threw a touchdown later in the game, actually two touchdowns before it was over. Had another touchdown that was called back. He threw one. It was a good throw, and we got a call against us there. So, was you know, proud of that part of it. But that you know, Malachi's going to be all right. He's going to be fine. We just as a team got to bring it as a total. So,
Coach, how much will Malachi's progression as a passer open up the offense for you guys? If I was playing you, and for what it's worth, I would put nine guys in the box and make y'all throw. I wouldn't let him run all over the place. So, I mean, how much is that going to open up things?
No doubt. And I tell you, we've got a kid out there in Tanner Paul, a senior, his first year playing. He's making great strides. I'm impressed with him. He had a good play last night, made some good plays the week before. I'd love to have had him for 4 years. He probably regrets it now. He would be having some college scouts look at him, too, if he were had been able to play the whole time. We got to get him the ball more. We got to get some of our guys on that side of the ball more throwing just to take a little pressure off our run game and Malachi. So I think it's very important. We're going to have to throw it better. And I mean, we know that. Coaches, offensive staff knows that. But I do think we got some of that done last night. We just got to continue to improve there.
Coach, the York Institute Dragons come to town. They're on the losing end of a 7-0 game. They've lost several games by one score. Their offense is kind of having trouble get going. Have you been able to look at them at all yet?
We have. But, I mean, I think the onus is going to be on us. You know, York's going to come and play hard. They always do. They always have. We've got to decide whether or not we're going to match intensity of the other team. So this week's going to be about Sparta and see if we can come out and play our best game. I told these guys from here on out, wins and losses are always important, but we're going to play our best game and play as hard as we can.
Coach Frazier, thank you for joining us this week. We'll talk to you in the middle of the week.
No problem. Thanks, buddy.
We turn to Upperman as the Bees throttle Cannon County 48-6. Big region win. Coach Kane, thank you for jumping on with us today.
I appreciate you having me.
Coach, first thing I want to talk about, obviously you jumped all over Cannon County early last night. Offense looked good. Defense played really good. There was a personnel change with J. Ron McClellan playing middle linebacker. I know you've had concerns about your linebacking core all season. How did you think he played back there?
I was pleased. You know, we it was interesting. We went into the week trying to, you know, improve that spot, and we get out there and have some physical practices. And the first day of the week, Levi went down with a shoulder injury, so it was almost out of necessity. But I had talked to Jaron a little bit before, and I was like, look, we may need to put you in there to get a little more physical presence. And it was something we had to do. And he immediately kind of boosted us in there. You know, I think the biggest key for linebacker play is just having some guys attack the line of scrimmage and that sort of thing. And he provided that. And I watched him last night. You know, he made a few mistakes, but for the most part, he was a physical presence in there and knocked some people backwards. So that's what we were looking for, and I think he provided it.
And, Coach, talk about throwing someone straight into the fire. He jumps in there, you know, against a team running the wing T, running some option stuff. That's not ideal to have to play middle linebacker your first game with all the keys and reads you have to go through. So that's a testament to that young man. And your defense for the first half played lights out. And, I mean, I understand what kind of team that Cannon County had out there, but they played really – they were flying around and they were hitting. They were being the hammer, not the nail.
Yeah, it looked, you know, like we've looked the last 2 years. And, you know, the big key for us this week was, you know, football is kind of a funny sport in that, you know, one play here or there can really, you know, springboard your season or do the opposite. And so I was very eager to, you know, get back on the field this week just to see if, you know, we could get one guy just to make a play that would, you know, just get us going again. And, you know, defensively, I felt like we did it all night. You know, even when we put the young kids in, they were pretty aggressive and that sort of thing. So that was good to see. Hopefully it's something we can build off of and, you know, we continue, you know, this sort of upward trajectory to our season.
Coach Kane, you're talking about some of those young kids, freshman Caden Shanks and Elijah Petty, each score, you know, their first touchdowns of their high school careers. I know as you go through the season, you look to build depth and find young players in some of these lopsided games that you can get in there that you may need a call on at the end of the season or in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Caden is a really good athlete. I watched him, you know, dominate the middle school league last year. And he came out in practice last week. And again, we were really, really physical in practice. And you know, he played a little scout team running back and really hurt us a few times. And I told him, I was like, since you worked hard in practice, I'm going to find a way to get you the ball. And, you know, sure enough, just like he does, he found a way to get that thing in the end zone. You know, he's a guy that, you know, his intent when he has the ball in his hands is to, you know, he's trying to score. He's not trying to survive or look for a way out. He's trying to get in the end zone. So I was pleased with that. And, you know, Elijah's a young guy who's got a lot of ability and a lot of speed and some strength, and I'm looking for big things from him. So I was glad to see him get in the end zone as well.
Coach Kane, thinking about your team and your game last night and the rest of your season, I've thought all year that this is a team that will continue to grow as the season progresses. There's a lot of guys playing who didn't have to play before, and they're having to have the shoulder and the pressure on them that they didn't have to last year. Even some of your better players, the pressure wasn't on them. It was on Donovan. This team's going to get better each and every week as they kind of go through the fire a little bit more.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that's you know, the mark of a well-coached team is that they continue to progress. You know, we're week five, and, you know, we ought to really be starting to hit our stride now. And so, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, we lost our closer, from last year, and we had some guys with some experience, but they were more kind of, role guys. And you know, when their play was, when their number was called, they could step in there. But now, this year, they're the guys. And so maybe it took, a couple weeks for them to get used to that.
Upperman 48, Cannon County 6. Coach Kane, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again in the middle of the week.
Okay, thanks for having me.
The high school playbook continues with DeKalb County head coach Steve Trapp. It was the DeKalb County Tigers 32, Grundy County nothing. Coach Trapp, how's it going this morning?
Doing well. Good to have a game like that, so definitely feeling better. Already have my Saturday morning pancakes. So.
What kind of pancakes did you have this morning, Coach?
Hey, just old-fashioned buttermilk pancakes with butter and syrup.
Is that a tradition after a win, or is this every Saturday?
Most times Saturdays, get up and make some pancakes.
All right, I'll see you next Saturday morning. Coach, a 32-0 win there on the road. First off, let's talk defensively. It's always a great night on the defensive side of the ball when you shut anybody out.
It definitely is. Like I said, that's one thing. That's the first thing I told the guys after the game is, no matter any football game, if you can hold an opponent up to 0 points, that is a good night. And they did some things, a couple things differently that we didn't see on film. So just really a lot of credit goes to, Coach Cagle and the defensive side and those guys to make sure they recognize that and get everybody in the right place. And ultimately, the guys are just executing what we needed them to do.
Coach, that's got to make you feel good as a staff and as a team when in mid-game you can have mid-game adjustments to things you've not seen before and go out there and execute it as a great building block for the rest of the season.
It is. And, like I said, we've had, four really close ball games, and, we've talked numerous times, and, three or four plays go different. Everything could look different at this point, but going into last night's game, it's good to see those guys, just make plays. And, a lot of things went our way last night, and we're grateful for that. But, we also understand the work that has to continue to be made.
Coach, that's something that keeps coming to my mind when I think about this DeKalb County football team. You sit in the literal exact same spot you were record-wise last year, but the games are so different. All your losses are to – obviously, Warren County is a really good football team. And by one possession, talking about going forward the rest of this season, this is where, at the halfway point, as crazy as that sounds, where you need to see your team start clicking and start to build and progress each and every week.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, there's been moments of every game where we have been clicking. It's just been a little bit of inconsistency and in very bad moments of every football game. Last night, we talked about the mistakes that we made in the special teams the first couple weeks. The last 2 weeks, those have been great. I mean, we punted twice last night, and both of those, I think, were inside the 3-yard line, led to two safeties. So our defense also scored. Our special teams was great. Made all of our extra points since we got Jasper, went and recruited the soccer coach's son. The kick for us after the first game. He's been perfect ever since he's been with us, knocked on wood. We had some big pass plays. I thought both running backs ran extremely hard. Dino had another good night. So it was just a good night for DeKalb County.
Coach, and that's something you talked about again previously was a couple weeks ago. You said, I feel like I get one thing under control or taken care of and another leak spring somewhere else. Like you said, your special teams are starting to come along. And again, you're going to spend a lot of time in practice on special teams because you can win and lose games there. But when you're not having to, per se, worry about it every week, that you're having trouble back there, that it's getting to where you want, you can devote a little more concentration to some other things.
Well, definitely. We feel that we, potentially – two ball games we may have lost because of our inability to execute in the special team area. you know, with it, you know, the first game of the year, with it being kicking and then the fumbled punt snap and then the kickoff returns that we gave up and a fumbled punt return in one game, you know. So we're always going to worry about all phases of the game, but it does seem like it has come together in a great way. And like I said, special teams, the way we punted the ball, TJ, last night, it set up our defense. They were fortunate enough to score, like I said, a couple safeties, but if not, it would have set our offense up a short field. And the majority of the night, that's the way it was, you know. So we probably won't have a whole lot of yards on our stats, but defense, they did such a great job of getting three and outs and, you know, giving us a short field on offense, and then we took advantage of it.
Coach, your offense has been a big play machine all year, and the same went last night.
Yeah, the biggest negative, though, probably is, you know, we got the ball coming out after halftime right there at the beginning of the third quarter, and, you know, it's probably our worst offensive series of the night. Started out with a couple first downs in a row, and then we kind of dropped a snap and then dropped another one. I think we had a flick ball in there or something other, but just kind of wheels fell off on that one. But other than that, they did a good job. And then I think after that drive, the officials kind of took over the game. And, you know, once we get a first down, it seemed like they took a flag every play. But, you know, sometimes that's how it goes. But, yeah, just really proud of, like I said, my coaching staff for staying on these guys and, you know, for all of our guys, just to, you know, one thing we talked about all last week was just, you know, motivation. You know, what is this should be a year where it should be very easy for football teams to be motivated to go take advantage of every opportunity. So that's one thing I talked to the guys about a whole lot last week, because I just felt like our motivation to be great every single play, just I wasn't seeing it. And we just wanted to make sure that we found our motivation last night, but most importantly, we went and showed it.
Well, Coach Trapp, thanks for joining us this week. We'll talk to you again in the middle of the week next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It was Livingston Academy 28, Stone Memorial 6. The high school playbook continues with Livingston Academy head ball coach Bruce Lamb. Good morning, Coach Lamb, and thank you for your time this morning, and congrats on another big region win.
Thank you, Justin. Any win's big right now, especially for a season you had no idea you're going to have. And, you know, we'll take everyone we can get.
Coach Lamb, your team's sitting there 4-1 on the year, 2-0 in your region. Not saying it was unexpected, but had to replace a lot from last season, and this team's really starting to come together, playing really great defense all year long.
You know, we lost 14 seniors last year, and those guys started for 2 or 3 years. And it's you know, tough when you got to a small school like us to try to replace those guys. And especially with the ones that the athletes and what they did for us. But these guys have stepped up. I actually have 21 seniors this year, and they've stepped up and have really took on the role of being the leaders. And you know, it's starting to come together. You don't have the scrimmages like we had before, and the 7-on-7s and just the practice time. And it's taken a little while for us to find our identity, but I think we're headed that way. And you know, they continue to work each week, and I hope it's going to continue to get better.
Coach, as I talked to you last week about Caleb Robinson, you said you had given them the ball 30 times in a game. He was coming to the sideline saying that, you know, I could take the ball some more. So when I talked to him this week, I asked him about it, and he said if they'd give me the ball 50 times in a game, I'd take it. You're starting to feed that kid, and he's playing well. He's playing defense for you. He's a tough runner, a tough tackler. He's just an all-around really good football player.
He's an exceptional football player. And, you know, doesn't matter if it's offense or defense, he loves playing the ball. I mean, he wants the ball carrier to run to him, and he wants the ball to run the ball when he brought on offense. And I think we gave him the ball 33 times last night. And, you know, and continue with more. And I know at the end of the game, we were going to take a knee, and we took him out, and he looked at me and said, "I want to run the ball." And I said, "We're taking the victory." He said, "I want in." I said, "No, you can't go in." You know, but, you know, that's the type of kid he is. He wants to be a part of the team, and he wants the ball to give us the best chance to win. And, you know, I can't say enough about that young man. And we're talking about a kid who's worked for 4 years to get to this point, and it really shows what hard work does for you.
Again, on here with Livingston Academy head coach Bruce Lamb, coming off a 28-6 victory over Stone Memorial last night. Coach Raven Carpenter is a guy who made some spectacular catches last night. I know he also put the ball on the ground, but he's a guy that you're going to have to find ways to get the ball in his hands because he's another playmaker for you out there if teams start to key in on Caleb Robinson there in the backfield.
Absolutely. We've been running some ways to get Raven the ball a little bit more because he is such an athlete, and he's a 3-year starter for us. And so, last night he made a couple of incredible catches. I think he scored his first touchdown of the year last night. And Raven's a big part of our offense. We've got to add that dynamic to it. And then, we've got some other kids Jaden Lawrence, Nate Carwile, Brian Mosley, those guys right there are very good athletes. And we're trying to get them involved in our offense also to help Caleb run the ball a little bit better. So, once we get that down, I think we'll be all right. I just know we got to continue to work on that to get those guys the ball.
Coach, you talked about something here, and as odd as it may seem, we're sitting here at the halfway point in the season. I'm just happy we're at this point. But you talked about not having 7-on-7, not having scrimmages, and how that's just everyone's a little behind. But everyone's a little behind, kind of all at the same time. Here at the halfway point, you've got those 5 games. Are you starting to see your team build each and every week and kind of look more like in midseason form than they did a lot earlier?
Yes, definitely. Those guys, you can see and you can feel it in practice. You just have that little feel that that they're finally starting to understand things. They're finally starting to know what to do, exactly what to do, and when to do it. And it's starting to get in game time now. They're not having to come over and ask the questions or miss the blocks or miss the hole or whatever it may be. They're understanding a little bit more, and we're getting a little bit more comfortable in what we're doing. And we didn't get to that chance. Usually you have 4 scrimmages before the season starts to get ready for that. And we didn't have that. Nobody has. And I think everybody's finally starting to get midseason form now. And hopefully it'll continue for the next few weeks.
Coach Lamb, your region is just wide open with Livingston Academy, Macon County, and DeKalb County all sitting there kind of fighting for that region victory, that number one seed. How do you see the rest of this region shaking out the rest of this year?
Well, I'd love to go out here and predict things, but that's not what I do. So, we're going to get ready for Smith County this week, and, it's a non-region game, but, I know Coach Murray will have those guys down there ready to go. They're good size, I know that, and I know they're hungry for a victory, and they'll be coming to our place since the last time we played home for a few weeks. So, we're going to line up and get ready for them, and then whatever comes next, we'll try to get ready for that, and we're just going to play it one by one, and we'll see what happens.
Well, Coach Lamb, thank you for your time this morning. Again, coming off a big 28-6 win there last night in Overton County over Stone Memorial.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate you, buddy.
The High School Playbook continues. I'm your host, Justin Matheny, alongside Rusty Ellis. Rusty, another big night of football across the Upper Cumberland. No game bigger, in my opinion, for what that's worth, than Warren County beating Blackman 35-28 there in Murfreesboro to improve to 5-0 on the season. What a huge win for that Pioneer program.
Said it last night, and I'll say it again. If there was a team that I didn't expect to start the season 5-0, it was 100% Warren County. But give them credit. They've been phenomenal to start this year. They've won 5 in a row. C.J. Taylor's been spectacular. They've got a great supporting cast with guys like Kaysen Holder, Rylan Holder, Clay Thompson. And they're just playing good ball. When you get up 35-7 on a team like Blackman last night, it's very, very easy to see how different of a team this is from last year to now.
And I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. My boy Chris Sullins of the Warren County basketball team, he's the head coach down there. They are just coming off a region championship, the first one in 40 years. A district championship. C.J. Taylor hits a game winner over White County to win that. But he calls me last night after the game, pumped up, fired up, and he says, Coach, let me tell you, everybody in the stands knew all night who was getting the ball, what we were doing, and they couldn't stop him. C.J. Taylor, he is, in my opinion, again, for what that's worth, is about to blow up on the recruiting circuit, especially after his performance against a perennial power like Blackman. He's had great performances against DeKalb County, against Lawrence County, against Cannon County, but he stepped up on the biggest stage against his best competition. He rushed the ball for over 309 yards and 5 touchdowns last night.
It's one of those games where I don't know if we can really be surprised anymore by just how productive he is out there. It's like you said, everybody knows who's getting the ball. Everybody knows who's running this offense, but they still can't stop him. And this is, what, his second game of the year now with over 300 yards of offense? I mean, that's incredible. And to say that he's about to blow up on the recruiting circuit is an understatement. I mean, he's already got an offer from Mississippi State. So
right.
he's already got good offers. You're about to see even more because that was really their first big test of the year, and I think they passed with flying colors.
Their opponent next week's the Cookeville Cavaliers. Cookeville came up on a different end of the stick against Oakland last night. Oakland is, again, a perennial number one top five team in the state. Oakland wins that game 42-7. Just, you know, talking to Rafferty and JoJo Matheny, who call the games for us here, they just talked about the overall team speed for the Oakland Patriots and that Oakland actually didn't look as big as Riverdale, but everybody on the field could just flat out run and fly, and that Cookeville really had a hard time matching that speed.
Yeah, and I think that the score is a little misleading in the sense that Cookeville hung around in this game early on. I mean, you go in down 21-0 at half, and most games you say, oh, 21-0, that's a big deficit. Well, against Oakland, I think a lot of people almost expect to be down way more, much more quickly. So I think that for this Cookeville team to hang around like they did, it says a lot about how much they have improved from last year to now, because last year it wasn't a competitive game at any point. I don't think Cookeville scored last year. So getting on the board is an improvement. So this team does look a whole lot better from last year. They'll have a chance to build on it when they play Coffee County this coming week, and they've got a big matchup in 2 weeks with Warren County. So Cookeville's still right there in the thick of things. I know that they're 0-2 in region play right now, but, I mean, they've played two very, very good region opponents.
Yeah, you're right, Rusty. Next week, Cookeville plays Coffee County at home, and Warren County will travel back to Murfreesboro to play Siegel. That's going to be a pivotal game for playoff seeding, like we talked about earlier in the week. Rusty, our 2A team here, the Jackson County Blue Devils, come up with a 16-6 win last night on the road at East Robertson. That means they're playoff bound halfway through the season. That's something that the Blue Devils has not been able to say for a long time. So I'm really happy and proud for that program up there and Coach Loftus and everything they're doing.
If not for Warren County being 5-0, this would be the surprise team in the Upper Cumberland right now, because I don't know that I envision Jackson County winning 4 games in total this year. And being 4-1 right now, it all got off to a great start when they beat York and the defense looked fantastic. And their only blemish is to a good Westmoreland team. And they put up 44 points in week 2 against Sail Creek, 43 against Red Boiling Springs last week. This is a team that offensively just looks different, and a lot of that is because Eli Burris looks so much more comfortable as the quarterback in year 2 in this system. He's played great, and the big guys up front are also a major part of this, because without them, guys like Wid Robbins don't have holes to run through. They don't have running lanes. So the big guys up front, guys like Dallas Johnson, they've looked great so far this year. And it's going to be interesting to see how they play against Monterey this coming week.
That's a huge matchup for them. You know, you talked about Wid Robbins and some of those offensive linemen. Wid rushed the ball last night 33 times for 150 yards. I know Eli's going to get a lot of the headlines, a lot of the pub, but that team is a lot better, and they look really good on offense when they're able to pound the ball, stick their nose in there. And you talked about it, big matchup against Monterey. Monterey's undefeated. Monterey's not lost a regular season game since September 29th of 2018. So they're on a 15 or 16 game win streak here against teams across the Upper Cumberland. I'm Justin Matheny. Rusty Ellis has joined me. We're coming back for another segment to talk about some of the other games in the Upper Cumberland from Friday night. Thank you for spending part of your morning with us. This is the High School Playbook. The High School Playbook continues. I'm your host, Justin Matheny, alongside with Rusty Ellis. Rusty, last night, Smith County beats York 7-0. The York Dragons are having a hard time scoring the football, but their defense has played fantastic all year.
Yeah, the defense has been the reason they've been in games to begin with. I mean, offensive struggles, that's putting it mildly for this York team. They've only managed to put a handful of points on the board. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only points they've scored all year are two field goals by Michaela Reagan.
Correct.
And that's, I mean, that says a lot just about how much of a struggle the offense is right now. This is a young team, a younger team, but they're just not finding a lot of success. But that defense has been fantastic. A lot of these games have been close. Smith County only wins 7-0, and it's because of a pick six late in the fourth quarter. In week one, they lose to Jackson County 8-0, but had multiple chances to, I think, not only win that game, but win that game by a couple scores, and it was just turnovers because of how messy the weather was that night. So the defense is doing a great job. They've just, that offense has got to start, has got to find it. I would say it needs to find its identity, but they know what they want to do. So the problem is they've just got to execute better. That's all it comes down to.
And that offense is going to have a tough time going. Senior quarterback Dalton Barger, Coach Johnson believes, is out for the season with probably a collarbone injury. They're having to play a freshman. Not only did Dalton start at quarterback, he started at quarterback of the defense and the safety. So they've got a freshman playing for him at quarterback and safety. You know, Coach Johnson, like you said, they are playing lights out defense. A pick six at the end of the game turns that game around last night. Or we're talking about another York Institute win last night.
Yeah, I think that everyone knew that, you know, first-year head coach, especially in a year like this, this was going to be more of a rebuilding year anyways. I don't know how many people expected York to maybe be a state title contender. I think that everybody knew this was going to be a harder year. COVID-19 didn't help because, obviously, it put the start of the year in jeopardy and it cut off all, you know, spring ball. It changed how practices were run. So I think that it's been a tough task for Kerry Johnson this year just because of so many things that are out of his control. But the big thing is they've got to get some momentum going on offense, because I think right now the biggest thing these kids need is confidence. And I think punching it into the end zone a few times, even against a team like White County next week, could be very beneficial for them.
Rusty, a big region matchup that went down last night in Gordonsville was Gordonsville and Clay County. Gordonsville comes out on the winning side of that 20-0. And this is a tale of two different teams, two really good football teams. But Gordonsville is an older team. They have a lot of seniors out there. Clay County's replacing a lot. A lot of young guys having to step up and play for the first time. Again, two really good football teams. Clay County's got a chance. They're going to the playoffs. They've got a chance to get the number two seed in this region, depending on how things shake out with them in Monterey. But last night's game, again, Gordonsville 20, Clay County nothing.
This was exactly what I said yesterday during halftime. This is exactly what I said this team is going to struggle with, and it's which Keaton Arms do you get? Do you get the one that is efficient and that doesn't make mistakes, doesn't turn the ball over, and keeps you in games? Or are you going to get the one that ends up having to throw the ball 15 to 25 times and struggles with efficiency, throws interceptions? In his two worst games so far this year, he's 13 for 42 passing the ball with five interceptions in their two losses. So it says a lot about how, for a first year quarterback, they're 3-2. They're in good position right now to go to the playoffs, to have a good seed, to host a playoff game. But he's still so young and learning that even having a weapon like Alec Kerr, who, you know, has 8 catches for 73 yards, it only helps you so much. It doesn't help also that last night the ground game was not there at all. When you average half a yard per carry, you know, they had 10 yards on 20 attempts. When you average that half a yard per carry, you're not going to beat many teams doing that, and it doesn't help. This is also the bread and butter of their offense with guys like Carson Sharp, Joseph Markham. They run the ball. They like running the ball more than they like throwing. I think part of that was also just falling behind early, having to play from behind. You end up having to throw the ball to try to save clock and to try to manage the time better. But this team is not going to be successful if they're not running the ball well either.
Rusty, those are some great points you hit on there. The biggest indicator in winning, losing ball games a lot of times is your turnover differential. And especially in the high school level, are you able to find ways to run the ball? And like you said, that is their bread and butter. And for the most part of the year, even in their game against Stone Memorial, they were able to find ways to run the ball. So I know Coach Johnson will get that team back on track, back to running the ball when they host Westmoreland next week. Our other game in the Upper Cumberland that we need to touch on from last night is Cumberland County against Macon County. Cumberland County loses to Macon County 48-7 in Lafayette. I played for Coach Rapp in high school. He's a phenomenal coach. He knows his stuff. He's a great motivator of young men. And I've heard several coaches, Coach Lamb at Livingston Academy, Coach Johnson there at Clay County, at how much improved this Cumberland County team is under Coach Rapp. And I know they are going to keep fighting and find a way to win a game. I hope they can find a way to win a game this year. That will mean so much for that program.
One word that I think describes how this team has been all year is the word deceptive, because that 0-5 is very deceptive. I think that anybody will tell you this team looks a whole lot better than last year's team, even if the win-loss doesn't necessarily show that. A win would be huge for this team. I honestly think at some point they will get one this year. They're just very young, and they've just got to keep improving.
The high school playbook will continue with a scoreboard wrap-up brought to you by UC Sports Nation.